The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Our Father, this morning, we open our hearts to you.
Dear Lord, we ask that you will breathe upon us, that the power of Christ might be revealed in our hearts, might be revealed to bring us life, to bring us deliverance, to open our eyes, to raise us up from our slumber, and to give us your grace for life. In the name of Jesus, we ask that this morning, under our parents, your servants, Reverend Busui and Reverend Bing, by the grace of our Lord Jesus, that you have committed to them for the gospel of Christ and the blessings of the nations, that from that gracefulness and that graciousness, you will give us breath today. You will bring us illumination in the name of Jesus. Let there be light, my Father. Let there be understanding. Cause our eyes to see. Cause our hearts to live. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. The gospel is a school. The gospel is an institution. The gospel is a learning that is intended for enlightenment unto salvation. That is what the gospel is meant to achieve. The gospel is not just something we gather around on Sunday. Because when you see a man, when you see a human being is an embodiment of many learnings, many institutions of exposures and learnings. So when you see a human being on the street, he's an embodiment of his father's house, of his father's culture, of the training of his people, the tradition of his people. He doesn't have to look it. He's just a fine boy, handsome guy. But as he's walking like that, that guy walking until you touch him, what you will now find a response from his roots. From his roots. A man is a product of his roots. A man is a product of his roots. So when we meet the gospel is intended to shift us. You see, when you say root means that you are rooted to something. Root means that you are grounded somewhere and you take nourishment from somewhere. You flower from somewhere because you take nourishment. Water is coming from somewhere and that place is death if it is not the gospel. So when we say death is not just that somebody lay down and didn't wake up. Death is an understanding. Death is a fabrication of a lie. Death is that thing that is put together by hell that appears beautiful to a man, yet in it is corruption, is death. Something about man has fallen in love with death. So when God spoke to man that day in the garden and said, Adam, for this thing that you have done, cursed is the ground for your sake. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Did God really curse Adam? I don't think so. He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. You are the one. It is actually man that cursed the ground. Yes, for your sake. You are the one that your action is what brought curse. So a man's action can bring curse or bring blessing. Did you get that? Verse 17, chapter 3, Genesis. And Adam said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast not hearkened to my voice, or hearkened, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Okay? And not to my voice. And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So who cursed the ground? Man, for not hearkening to the voice of God. But you see that curse on the ground for his sake, because of what he did, you can never imagine that it will bring a man to a place where man can kill another man. Because in that action is a deformity that it will take God to come in to correct. And just to correct it is not simple. It's not simple. If a baby is born, sir, and the intestines are not long enough, like a normal human length of a normal human intestine, or the belly of the baby is so small, you can't just take to laboratory to theater and correct. In most cases, the doctors will say, when such deformities, allow the baby to grow older. They will not just carry the baby. You just hear, the baby is not okay, let us take the baby to... No. They will say, be feeding the baby, let the baby be growing. Let's be counting years before they will go and correct. But in those years, the baby is suffering. So that thing Adam did, they don't just say, oh, Adam, you have done wrong. Oh, you have done wrong. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I did wrong. Adam, oh, no. Oh, let us start again. Where do we start from? The man we put in charge of the earth has cursed the earth. You know, we read it upside down because of death. We say, God cursed Adam. No. He said, the ground is cursed because of you. It is you that you heard. You listen to your wife instead of my voice. You listen to what your wife was saying instead of obeying my commandment. Because of the thing you have done, the implication of this disobedience is that you have cursed the earth. So he didn't say, I cursed the earth. He said, cursed the earth because of you. For thy sake means what? Because of you. So because of that, in sorrow shalt thou eat of the earth all the days of... Do you know they were eating of the earth before? But you see, when you say eat of the earth that is cursed. Eat of the earth that is cursed. Are you aware that when you see a man like this, this man is a product of the earth that fed him? That biological life is a product of crust. Your tubers, where does it come from? Is it not from the earth? Your grains, where do they come from? From the earth. Your fruits, where do they come from? So you are earth. God just put a structure in you that can transform it. Transform earth as meal and become nourishment to your biological system. It is God that we looked at to say, okay, this solar can be translated to light. To energy. Because God put that in both plants. You sow a seed. The seed grows. Inside the seed is a mechanism. It doesn't give you earth. It doesn't. You don't have you ever taken a orange and you cut it and sand is coming out of it? That means the life don't finish. The day you take orange and cut it and sand coming out of it. No, but inside the orange is a law that converts water from the ground and make it nutritious. In a ball. It's inside that law. Is inside the orange. Inside the mango is a law. Inside your apple is a law. That it takes water. What that thing is taking from the earth is water. But the seed that is sowed in the earth has a law inside it. That when it grows, it can change water to fruit. So when they curse earth for a man, if the man eats of the earth, the man becomes something that is cursed. Over time. So curse will only increase upon man. Why? Because he constantly eats from a cursed ground. What I said now, is it clear? He's constantly eating from where? A cursed ground. So curse will increase upon man. Very soon, his nature will be vile. His nature will be mangled, twisted. So man has become more twisted with every passing generation. Man became more twisted. Why? He's eating his source. His nourishment is from a cursed earth. From a cursed ground. May God help us. May the Lord really, really bring us out of the curse. That's him. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Pull that hymn up and show me the particular verse that says, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. It's a stanza in that hymn. There is a madness that the Lord wants to cure from us. And the way he needs to cure us is to replant us. And we cannot be replanted just anywhere. We have to be planted now in Christ. We have to be planted in a new soil, a new ground. Look at this hymn. No more let sins and sorrows grow. So sin can grow. Can you see it now? And sorrow can grow. No thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Far as the cross is found is as far as where human being is living. That is where you have the cross. So as long as man keeps taking from a ground that is cursed, man very soon becomes the cursed. But how can God bear that a man is cursed? I like the question that we're asked this morning in School of Life. You see, when they say carnal, and ye, but ye are carnal. When was the last time we judged carnality to be when a man says, this is my preacher? That is not my preacher. You don't see it as carnality. When you work carnality is when people are sleeping in fornication, people are cheating people, people are lying. You see how far we have fallen. But for that church, Paul came and said, ye are carnal. You are babies. Why? Because you are saying, I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Cephas. In fact, I'm for Christ. He said, both people who say they are for Christ, people who say they are for Paul, all of you are carnal. So you see concept of carnality, how it is changing, depending on the people we are talking to. Do you understand me? So also when you see a man, we don't know how much curse has been laid or being worked as or has been worked in a man because of how dead we have become. How dead we have become. Such that when you say there is no love somewhere, we don't know that it is a curse. It's a product of a curse. It's a product of a curse. That the day man was made, he was a product of love. That is why by God's grace and his mercy, there's no child born on earth that is a bastard. Are you with me? By God's grace and mercy, every human being born on earth is a product of lovemaking. Now you call him anything way you want to call him. It's a product of what? Lovemaking. That is the word human being in their depravity still call him. Now love, now make this begin. So man was actually a product of lovemaking. So when you now see a product of love become a weapon of hate, a weapon of envy, a weapon of strife, somebody came into that garden and sowed an evil seed. You will get it. Somebody entered that place and sowed a wicked seed. Because when you pick man, man is the product of love. Even the one that they raped mama is still a product of love. Now devil twist everything. Give him different arrangement. Do you get what I'm trying to say? There's no bastard. There's no born by mistake. You were born because you are ripe to come. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, and so if anybody has that mindset, correct it. There's no bastard. I say, he's a bastard. That is our word. A bastard actually, from scriptural perspective, is every son that refuses to be trained. He's a bastard. It is the point you refuse to be trained that scripture calls you a bastard. There's nobody that's on earth that is a bastard by birth. Is a product of a man and a woman. And if it is by a product of a man and a woman, amen, then it is a product of love. So when God made Adam in the garden and made Eve in the garden, they were product of God's love. And they were supposed to be entities of love, spreading the love of God. So now, pay attention. When they were put in the garden to tend the garden, are you following me, brethren? They were put in the garden to tend the garden. Can you now use the eye of God to see that that labor is the labor of love. Jesus looked at the people as they came to him, and he saw them scattered as sheep without shepherd. Why is Jesus referred to as a shepherd of our soul? Why are all the fathers, all the patriarchs, and notable fathers in scripture all shepherds, including David, the king, was a shepherd boy? Because there's something about shepherding that shows love. How did David qualify to sit on the throne? What did God see in David that said, I've found me a man after my own heart who will do all my will? One of those things was the way David would care for his father's flock, would care for his lamb. Even Saul fell out of grace with God, but Saul was also a shepherd boy. Saul was a shepherd boy. Moses that led them out of Egypt was not able to lead them out. When he came out of Pharaoh's palace, he couldn't lead them out until he had been made a shepherd boy from the backside of the wilderness. They brought him. It was a shepherd that led them out of Egypt. So what is about it? Why would the Lord say you should tend? Why would he say you should shepherd? Because there is something about that thing that puts in you a kind of a heart. You need a kind of heart to tend. You need a kind of heart to shepherd. And that heart is an heart of love. Can you see how far we have lost it? It should actually be that if you are not training animal, you are not tending animals, you should be tending plants. Everybody on earth. It should actually be that you must have, worst case, you will have a pet that you love and you cherish. See what the devil has done to people now. A white woman said, every time I see a man, this extreme feminist, I value my dog the more. Every time I see a man, that is how much she hates a man. I value my dog the more. So that, of course, you know that woman is gone. Because frankly speaking, God put in us an ability to love, not only human beings, to also love. The way God did it is that love should be so plenty in our hearts that we can extend it to our animals. So if I can train a dog and feed it every morning, how about my sister and my brother? Should they not be of more precious value than the dog behind my house? Do you get what I'm trying to say? God put that in nature. It should be inside a man. But when man fell, a wickedness was actually wrought in a man by the fall. So the fall of man was the beginning of an era where love will disappear from the memory of man. Every man grew from that time to be selfish. But it didn't appear like man was cursed. It didn't appear like that thing that looked very... Why God did take him harsh like this now? God, don't take this matter person now. I think he could just forgive us. He can't bring cherubim, block road, block everybody, chase and come out. Mona, come out. Why would God do that way? Now, the weight of what was lost was too heavy. We needed years to comprehend it. You know that God didn't send... He prophesied that day and said to the serpent, the seed of the woman, we bruise your head. But he didn't do that with Abel. In the nature of the serpent, he thought that it is the next person. So when he saw the way Abel was following God, he said, kill him. He possessed Cain to kill Abel. And he had killed everybody that appeared like he was going to. Now this person, he blessed now this person. The way God followed Abraham. God was visiting the earth. You know, it was not only Abraham at that time that was a righteous man. Are you aware of that? But God was particularly visiting Abraham and having some kind of conversation with Abraham. The devil came and locked the womb of the wife. He knows it's not Abraham, but he knew that Abraham can produce something. He locks the womb of the wife. When it is time, when you hit the goal, when you hit the mark, other things will happen. Other things will happen. Recently, I was saying to some guys around me, I say, only if we can understand that you should actually just focus on God and keep making progress. That when you hit certain threshold, some other things will happen. We will put attention on God. If only we can understand it, we will pour our love on Him. We will, that thing you are looking for will happen. And when it will happen, it will be easy. It will be easy. You just say, you know, sweat. That thing that if they left you, you will sweat, you will lose peace. Heaven will just do it well like that.
Just can you just trust God and walk with him and follow him? The devil knew. So everybody that looked like, maybe this person will give birth to the seed that will bruise my head, or this person is the seed, the devil went after them. He killed all of them. But God ignored him, because God will not do it. What did they say? He said, in the fullness of time. God was waiting for a time, because until we are aware that we need mercy, if mercy shows up, we will not value mercy. It was part of the fullness of time. A time where we can value mercy when mercy shows up. Showed up. Now, when even God called fullness of time, human being did not still value Jesus. Look at our morning teaching this morning. How many people have done the kind of miracles that Jesus did, and you still had enough energy to slap his face? How many people have done the kind of carry water for your presence, turn wine? We drink them, it become wine. And everybody say, this one is sweeter than the one we bought. That guy. And you could slap him. The number of people that were healed in Israel. The number of people that died and he raised them. How many people have done that? How many of you have ever lived to witness that? Because before Jesus came, 400 years, 300 before Jesus came, there was no prophet anymore in Israel. There was no more prophet. And you could have the effrontery to kill him. You didn't only slap him. Just slap small. You kill him. Now that is to make you know how bad the work of a devil can be. How bad the work of the devil can be. Lamech. Is that Lamech? The first person that killed was Cain. The descendant of Cain. Lamech. Lamech, I'm right? Yes. Lamech came to his wife and said, if the curse of Cain is sevenfold, my own parcel. My own should be 70 times 7. I killed two men. That is at a generation. Man could feel bad that I killed somebody. God should punish me. If they punish Cain 7 times, my own should be 70 times 7. Do you know that when they were killing Jesus, they said, let the curse be upon us and upon our children. There was no more remorse. Now, I'm just painting a picture to make you see the man God came to save. I said, God, get faith. God, get faith. Because even you and I, when we are seeing ourselves, you look at yourself sometimes and say, sir, I go fit change like this. Anyway, pastor, believe, sir. Because as I look myself, I'm not sure say anything good can come out of this Nazareth. You even tell yourself that in your secret place. Anyway, just go church. Go church. I say, God will change us. Because sometimes we are tired of what we do. You look at what you have done. You go, it will pain you. Only say you go do them again. You don't have enough power not to do it again. Though when you do it, it will pain you. Sometimes we even cry when we see the effect of the unrighteousness we have done. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Oh God, I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have. You remember some things you did 5 years ago and the effect on your life. Remember some bad play where you play and the effect down the line. Some people, you see their life and say, if this guy knows, say this thing when he do. Some people, it cost them their life. Some people were maimed for life. I get what I'm trying to say. If they told that guy that they killed in front of campus gate, if I don't share the money, jabba jabba, everybody collect your own, where would they go? I get what I'm trying to say. Some people, it cost them their life. When you see human being, man. But God still believes that we can be saved. For God, salvation is not an amorphous word. You see how bad we have become. God knows what he calls salvation. For God, salvation is not something amorphous. Salvation is something tangible and deliberate. And there are markers God look out for to say salvation is already being worked here. And one of those markers, the greatest marker God looks out for, is called love. Can I hear you say love? Love. That was why, in fact, that is the real thing the devil stole from man.
love. That we will all be with God and we will not love God. So you see, that thing he wanted to take from us, that we will not love God. He actually did it in a way that we didn't even love ourselves again. Before, you will not love God that you had not seen. What did he say about man? He said, you cannot say you love God that you have not seen when you do not love people that you see. So where did the devil start from? He wanted us not to love God, but it started from us not loving ourselves. So God says, you can't love me. The way God will heal you is to take it on the other side. You will love your neighbor or your brethren. Then before you can, that love will now come to me later on. So there are major two expressions that I want us to look at this morning. Love for brethren, then love for God. Love for brethren, then love for God. It's a marker that you are being saved. It's a sign that you are being saved. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13 to 15. In whom ye trusted, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Love unto all the saints. This is a function of the Holy Ghost presence. And when the doctrine of the apostles have been actualized in a believer, you will generate love. So Daddy describes it like this. He says, if I go out now and I look down, I will be seeing roof of houses because of where our house, our own floor is. Are you getting me? What do I see? Roof of houses, not foundation of houses. I may not even see the window from houses, but I will see their roof. So when I stand out and I look out, what am I seeing? Roofs. Roof is the seal upon the house. Am I right? Roof is what? The seal upon the house. So when God looks down, what God should see is love. But every time you see love, there are works under it. Every time you see what? Love, there are works. Every roof of a house you see now, there are furnitures in that house. Am I seeing the furniture? No. Am I seeing the people living under the roof? No. So roof cover furniture, roof cover people. Things happen under roof. Such is love with God. So when God is looking at me, God is not supposed to see faith. He's not supposed to see hope. He's supposed to see love. Faith and hope are necessary to generate love. I talk faith and hope because of I am climbing up. Faith provides the ladder upward. Hope sustains my voyage upward. Charity or love for the brethren, it should be the output of all that labor. And that is what God sees. And that is what God rewards. So for God, every believer who has not arrived as charity or love of the brethren, he has not done the work. We have not done what? The work. That is how God sees man. So Jesus was leaving the earth. He left some clear commandments with them that they should love one another. Is that John 15? The Lord will help us this morning. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Look at criteria to continue in love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. That was what the first Adam could not do. Remember that God said, my commandment you break. You chose your wife's counsel over my commandment. So that was a proof that you did not abide in my love. So the effect of that is curse on the ground, which actually is evidenced by hatred and lack of love among men. So if I abide now in the commandment of the Lord or in his love, one thing that will be seen is that I will have love for people. Let's read on. Let's read on. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. If what? Come on, if what? If ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth call I you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father. What did I hear of my Father? Commandments that I've heard of my Father. I have what done what? Made known unto you. So making them known to you is a show of love. You abiding in them is going to bring love into your life. I don't know why the Lord wants me to start from here today. Abiding in my words brings love into your life. Until I bring love into your life, you cannot give love to anybody. That thing you have is not love, it's selfishness. So has any man here a father whose son will ask of him bread and he will give him what? Stone. He said, if you being evil, so an evil man cannot love another man. If you being evil giveth good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, will he give you the Holy Ghost? Will he give you the Holy Ghost? So an evil man that is giving you a good gift is not still love, because he can use that thing to work against you. To turn things against you. Did you hear what I just said? I said an evil man cannot give you a gift and you say love you. Except God has worked in the heart of a man, that man cannot produce what God calls love. So love is a product of obeying commandments. Love is not generated in the heart of a man except the man obeys commandments. Commandments are given to us the revelation of divine beings. Each divine being you find in Colossians 2 verse 2, each of them give a commandment, or each of them are a commandment. Each of the beings we find in Colossians 2 verse 2, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, each of them are mysteries. Each of those mysteries hold commandments of love. Each of those mysteries, what brethren, holds commandments of love. The commandments of love they hold are not on the same cadre. They are not the same. They are at different levels. So there is the commandment of Christ. It is to love your brethren. It's called brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is the place where you are purged and cleansed and perfected. A believer cannot be made perfect without brethren. A believer cannot be made perfect without what? Brethren. If you live in isolation, you will not have yourself cleansed from all sin. Because there are sins that are in you that will keep you up until you meet your brethren. If you are alone, sir, you will do what you don't want to do. I mean, do what you want to do and do what you want to do. It is when somebody come and stay with you that the person can step on your toes. Then you will now realize that you can forgive, but you can't forgive too much. Until you realize that, I think I used to forgive before, but since this brother came, that he's doing some things, you will not start praying for yourself. Yet that thing, unrighteousness, is in you. Has always been there. Did you get what I just said? That unrighteousness has always been there. Until your brethren show up, you will not see them. So there are sins
that will not be remitted if we don't have exposure with the brothers, with the brotherhood. So we always say that we should integrate more. And we must pay attention to that, because you can be protecting yourself, but you don't know what you are doing. You see, what you are doing is that you are keeping yourself from being saved. You are preventing yourself from encountering the mercy of God in at every level. Let me explain it this way. Why am I always thinking about the human intestine today? The intestinal wall, the intestinal arrangement. The arrangement of the intestine. Is intestine straight? You think maybe your intestine is just from your throat straight to your... No. Maybe now branch to your belly and branch to... The intestine is many circles. Right? That arrangement can only be God. Eh? Keep moving like that. It's not even circle. It keep moving like that. Now, there are... Even in that movement, it has some protrusions. And some intrusions. If they say they want to cleanse your intestine, if they say they want to cleanse, have you ever killed a cow and they gave intestine to cleanse? Can you cleanse intestine without stretching it out? That is exactly how our soul is. Our soul have some layers that are hidden, that it will take certain exposures with brethren for you to know that you can do that kind of a thing. You are looking, can you see that thing? Now you are looking like a gentle guy. You are looking like a gentle guy. It will take your brain sometimes to stretch some part of your intestine, which is your soul. When you stretch it, that's when you go shout. Nobody has touched that place. And you can never imagine that you can slap somebody. You can never imagine that you can tell yourself, whoa. I can forgive everything, Jesus, but this one, God help me. If this guy do it again, I will beat him. You have never imagined, for you, you are a humble guy, you are a gentle guy, you are easy living guy. Well, you see that thing that Elder Bayo said earlier on, that it is Christ. He said it was Austin Sparks said it. It is when you come to Christ, when you really see Christ, that you really begin to acknowledge how undone and unholy you are. Now, the instrument Christ uses to do that is brethren. He will put a demand on you. Love your brethren. Then he will now move brethren to you. Then brethren will come with their excesses. Because when they are coming, you know, when brethren are coming the first time, they will come to your house, they will push you at the door. Everybody push, they push you at the door. It's only one that is recalcitrant, that will wear a shoe inside. You go look him. You go forgive him. He don't follow everybody. If brethren come, but the one that will come and live in your house, he won't push you at the door. He will enter your house, mud under the shoe, and carry it into the room. So when there's mud in the shoe, there's no problem when it is wet. The problem starts when it is dry and you are wearing it out. Oh, what are they talking? You don't understand. Every step is leaving trace. Pa, pa, pa. He didn't even look back. He walked away. As you are coming in, you are wondering, hey God, who is this person? Why now? You collect broom, you sweep him. You are hoping that when he comes and you explain to him, he will just say, I'm sorry. You tell him that. Is that why you are now behaving as if somebody died? He's talking to the owner of the house. Jesus will bring people around us that the intent is to really make us lovers. The intent to make us lovers, because the work the devil did was in the place where love sits. That was the work. When they say death, death is when they flip love to the other side. How do I explain this thing? Death is the flip side of love. Love is life. What do they say God is? God is life. God is light. God is love. Am I right? So life is love. God is love. When they say there's death somewhere, it means that love is not present.
So to reflip that thing, they will have to engineer certain works around you, bring certain arrangements around you so that you can begin to turn. How do you turn? When you gradually begin to see that, I'm not able to meet up, then you will seek for grace. Grace comes to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. So who is the proud? The man who does not have need of grace. James chapter 4 verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore yet God resisted the proud. But what, brethren? Giveth grace unto the humble. So what is the humble there? Who is the humble there? The man who has come to realize I need. The man who has realized his need is a humble man. The man who has done what? Realized his need. The need of a man is seen in his prayers. Yes, sir. The need of a man is seen what? In his prayers. The reason why we pray, a believer will kneel down and will remember that he needs a car. Remember that he needs a house. Remember that he needs promotion. But we not remember, a believer, he will not remember that he needs to love his brother more. It is not a need. Oh my God. He will not remember that he needs to suffer long with his brethren. It is not a need, sir. How do you know the need of a man? It is in his prayers that a man needs and say, God, help me. Help me in this house. Show me Genesis chapter. I want to show you the prayer of Jacob. Something has happened to Jacob. Chapter 32, verse 9. Let us read a few verses there. 9 to probably 12. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. For with my staff I crossed here alone, staff over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. I say, where you know a humble man is in the tone of his prayer. You know a humble man in the tone of his prayer. Show me the other prayer of Jesus' example of the Pharisee that was praying in the tabernacle. You see the tone of his prayer. Are you sure you are with me this morning? May God show us help. Luke chapter 18 verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other what? A publican. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with and prayed thus with himself. Did you see that? It's not a mistake. It's not a grammatical error. He prayed with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Many times, sir, our tone in prayer is like this. I fast twice in a week. He said he prayed with himself. I give tithes of all that I possess. And that is the man. Then the publican. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes up to heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hey-o. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. May God help us to always see our need, our true need in the spirit. Our real need is a need that proceeds from our person. Our real need is a need that proceeds from who we are. Our person. Because our person is the person that should be blessed. Is the blessing. When God blesses a man, it is his person God blessed. So our real need is the absence of the blessing
in our persons.
The strongest need of a man does not appear until the man begins to see the need to love one another. In Christ, sir, our strongest need only shows up when we begin to see the need to love one another. So a man, a believer, is not purified, is not perfected until he arrives at loving his brethren as Christ has loved the church. So there are clear works that must be done in us if we are meant to arrive at love, which is called the man of charity. That's the first one that is reckoned with in the heavens. The man of charity is the man of love. That love is not God that you love. It's brethren that you love. The man of charity is not God. It's not your love for God. They used to judge you as a man of charity. It is your love for your brethren. It is your love for your brethren. And you see that your love for the brethren is going to spiral upward in higher expectation. As you go up, they will give you a higher love. Who are your brethren? Your brethren are actually people who sit on the same table to eat with you. They are your brethren. People who sit where? On the same table to eat with you. What do I mean by sit on the same table to eat with you? People who are hearing the same word with you. They qualify first as your brethren. There's a way I show love to the world. If I am walking on the street, should I not give somebody who asks for alms? Tell me, should I not? I should. But you know I'm not bound to give everybody who asks me on the road alms. I'm not bound to. And I shouldn't feel bad if I didn't. But I am bound to when my brother asks me. Sir, I'm bound to. Except I don't have. Hey, I no get. And that should be understood. I don't have. Because that my brother own is ranked higher than that one I give somebody that is on the street. But you know that I can get more praise from giving that guy on the street. That I can, people, some guys can be sitting and just watching me like, say, ah, and just give the guy, he's a good man. He's a good man. It will look as if he can even open the door for gospel. And I go there, I just came to preach gospel to you. And they can listen to me more. Because he's a good man. As much as that is good, sir, that is not how they judge our growth in the spirit. Because you know that when we live together, giving to one another can become a lot more burdensome than giving to an absolute stranger. That is when you will look at your brother and say, I don't like when people are lazy. You are always begging for money. Who do you say that to easily? Have you ever met somebody beggar on the street and you tell the person you are, I don't know, you are lazy. Go and walk. How many people say that? Either they give or they don't give. Abby? The person you talk to like that is your brother. You are calling me again. Now you are calling me again. You will not walk. When you walk, here you earn salary. You will spend the money. I don't know what you spend your salary on. 15th of the month, you start calling me. So it hurts more. So for your brother, you need to have added many things before you arrive at brotherly kindness. So we see that thing I'm painting now. Many of us can default at it. There's no problem when we default. It just shows us where we are on the journey. Maybe I need to add patience. Or maybe I needed to add temperance. Or maybe I needed to add knowledge. Do you understand me? Hey. But those additions and additions and additions are all to culminate at brotherly kindness. May God help us. That is the first. The second is like it also. I will show you. But the second is actually where you now prove that you love God. It is called the love of God and enmity with the world. If of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, who can know who loves the world? Who knows? When you say, I don't love the world, I don't love the world. So I have the love of the Father. No, there is a yardstick. There is a yardstick to know who loves the Lord, who loves the Father. But you see, this person who loves the Father is going to be a build-up on the love of the brethren. It's actually a build-up. So if you don't have the first love, they don't look down and say you are Christ. They can't have the expectation for the second one. It's a build-up on the first one. So take me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, is that chapter 6? Thank you. Are you with me, brethren? Are we being blessed? Chapter 6. Go to verse 17. Yes. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust where? In uncertain riches. But where? In the living God. In the living God. In the living God. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You will understand the concept of the living God. Jeremiah 10 verse 10. Just go to Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 10. I just want to show you that the living God is not Christ. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. So the true God and the living God are the two sides of the everlasting King. Are you with me, brethren? The true God and the living God are the two sides of who? The everlasting King. So when you say everlasting Father, you have him on two folds. Living and true. Is it clear from the prophets? Everlasting Father is living and true. So when you hear the mystery of Christ shows up as charity or love of the brethren. Brotherly kindness. Now, when you hear the mystery of the Father, it's now in two folds as the living God and the true God. Did you get that? Good. The living God has expectation that you should overcome your love for the world. How to prove that you have overcome your love for the world is now what Paul was showing us. That they do good works. Go back to verse 18. Go back to verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. So there are brethren who are rich in this world. And there should be brethren who are rich in this world. And that is why as we are talking about money tips now, savings and all, some people will take it seriously. And in 10 years time, they would have become rich in this world. Because they changed an attitude. But there will also always still be brethren that despite all of us hearing this now, they will not still be rich in this world. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. Are you with me? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. So if you follow what we are saying now in the business tips and you became rich in this world, it should not puff you up. You should not be what? High-minded. Now, there's a sign. Your not being high-minded is a product of the fact that Christ has worked in the man. But not trust in uncertain riches. But they should trust where? Trust where? That Jeremiah. So the living God is the first fold of the knowledge of the Father. I showed you three expressions, right? Christ, the Father, and God. The first fold is the living God. The second fold is the true God. Do you understand that? So Paul wrote about their own commandment. Their own commandment, Paul wrote about it. They should trust in the living God who giveth us richly to enjoy. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. So, when you say do good, is Christ's work. Then rich in good works is abound in Christ. So, they should be at fervent charity. Are you with me, brethren? They should abound in Christ's works. In Christ's works. For Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Hallelujah. Meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law for the man in Christ. Did you get that? Against such, there is no law. So, when they say they should abound, what scripture comes to your mind? Second Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Let's read verse 9 to 11. For 9 to 11. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things be in you, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so shall an abundant entrance be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see that abound should be verse 8. Show me verse 8. Good. For if these things be in you and abound. The things that be in you are the things that produce a Christ man. Then abound. Abound is how you become fruitful. Abound is how you become what? Fruitful. Not just only that they are in you. If they be in you and abound, you become fruitful. You are no longer barren. Hallelujah. So go back to where I was reading before. You realize that when he said, do good works that they be rich in good works. Rich is to abound. Wow. Do good work is to add to brotherly kindness, to charity. Be rich in good works is now to abound, means you bear fruit. You are trying to love the Father. This is the protocol. Because you, every job at this point is on love, 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 love. How much do you love God? It's going to be seen in how much love you show to your brethren. And the intent of your love must be judged. The intent must be seen. If I show love to this brother, it is not so that he can do something for me tomorrow. And you know that it is God that searcheth the heart and knoweth the intent of a man's thoughts. So I can come and give something to this sister. It is not so that I can get something from her tomorrow. It is because it's a Christ commandment. So when we are growing to God, it's a place where we hold ourselves by the jugular. Because it's easy. It's so easy to give. But you realize that sometimes you do the giving and there's an ulterior motive in your heart which you never really cared to find out. But the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any sword. Yes, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joint and marrow, designer of thoughts and what? Intent. So we must allow the word of God, which is quick and powerful, to go through our hearts consistently. Because in the terrain where we are discussing now, flesh can lock somewhere. Flesh can hide somewhere. That even in church, you find that people come in to sweep floor, to carry chair, to arrange things so that pastor can notice them and ordain them. Is it okay to sweep the floor? Is it okay to arrange the floor? But the reason you are doing it may be wrong. May be wrong. Absolutely wrong. So when ordination happens now and the GO does not call their name, say, they don't value people in this church. Oh. All these years I've been working. Well, is that not the basis of the noise you are hearing everywhere? The GO now says, I'm moving to UK. The work is moved and I feel I should be in UK for now. So let us set some structures in place. We regionalize Nigeria and some people in Southwest, some people in Southeast, some people in Middle Belt. And then somebody is angry. After all these years, they don't even call my name. Then he has his own faction. His own faction will now stand solidly behind him. Let us leave. Let's go and start our own. You are also anointed. So, and that is the point you really begin to see that all the while you were boring, it was not because you really loved the Lord. There was something you were looking for. You were looking for position. But actually, sir, what is position compared to the blessings of God? So you see that the man is blind. The man is blind. The man really, really is blind. Let them do good works. Let them be rich in good works. So why should he separate two of them? Run back there quickly. Why should he separate two of them? Let them do good works. Then let them be rich in good works. Did you see that? That they do good. Though that they do good is actually at charity. Then that they be rich in good works. Kai. That they be rich in good works. Now that is abounding in the original good. There's something that that abounding does. First Peter talks about fervent charity. First Peter chapter 1, 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. When you say unfeigned, a love that has no secondary intent. Pure love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. Kai, this is like we are repeating the same thing. Let's read it again. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So obeying the truth purified my soul. Did you get that? Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. So I obeyed the truth. It purified my soul unto a love that is without reservation. So if I don't obey the truth, I won't arrive at this kind of love. Oh, hallelujah. So like I said, an evil man cannot love God's love. Cannot have the love of God. I need to have obeyed truth to be able to arrive at unfeigned love of the brethren. It is still love of the brethren, no? Are you getting me? Then he says, see that ye love one another. But you have arrived at love of the brethren. Then now says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So what is he really talking about? It actually implies, he's talking about what the other person was going to reach in good works. See, they're doing the same thing with different words. So the first one is good. The second one is good, rich in good works. The proof that you are rich in good works is now this. Ready to what? Ready to what? Is the proof that you are rich in good works. You are ready. Distribute is on two folds. Remember, this is living God. This is living God. This is not Christ. Distribute is on, your man's giving is on two folds. It's on distribute, communicate. Distribute means you give and you're not expecting back. Communicate. And ready to distribute came first because you must be willing to do that consistently for a season of your life. You must be willing to give and not expect back. Give and not expect back. Give and not expect back. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Then willing to communicate. Willing to communicate. Communicate means I am. If I talk now, I say, Elder Bayo, what do you say, sir? You answer me. Pastor, sir, it means that I communicated. I encoded, he decoded, he replied me. Do you understand me? So when I communicate, I give, and then I'm expecting returns, reply. Do you understand that? Yes. And people should be like that in church. That we say, brethren who have just finished school in the last 5 years, send in their proposals for businesses that we can start for each of them in the neighborhood of 20 million naira. And brethren, we go and write proposal, and you will bring some brethren who are knowledgeable in business, and they will look through their proposal, the workability of their proposal, and we will disburse fund. And for some people, we feel like, okay, you don't really have enough, your person, and you're okay. Mr. Labaja, join him in this proposal, fine tune it so that we can make it workable. And then, waiting enough, then we will disburse fund. Church should be like that, sir. That kind of place is a senate house. It's what really Jesus meant as ecclesia. Do you get what? That is a senate house. They are legislating things on it. The church we see today, sir, has not gotten here. What's this man in Lagos has always given people fund? Tony Elumelu. What Tony Elumelu has been doing, he has been doing for years. And there are people in church who can do that for church folks who have not started. So the church that is capitalist in nature, driven with a capitalist mentality, cannot fulfill the laws of God. The demands of the commandment of God is that we arrive at love. But there are things that will die in us, and they cannot die without us obeying truth. We will obey truth until truth kills certain tendencies we have. Some of us have a tendency for glory. We like when they sing our praise. If your head go the feel, your body go the shake. When you stand up, you can't spray like idiot. You will enjoy it. Let the talking drummer not just start, though. Let it not just start. Because when that talking drummer starts, you go just sing one, two, you go forget yourself. You go forget, so you'll be dicking for church. You can't display like fish. See, that problem is in our gene. Some of us inherited it from death. And they can't deliver a man who likes praises except they put you through doctrine to obey gospel. That man has to obey gospel for a season. That tendency will die. You will give and they will not remember to say thank you. Jesus wants to deal with you. You will give. He will not remember to even appreciate you the next day. You know, there's a way you feel when you come and say, ah, Rabbi, thank you for yesterday. You even give and the guy will come out. You feel somebody maybe they come. You don't go house like that. So, what kind of guy be this? I don't give the guy 5K now. You thought the guy is just going to wee-wee and come back and say thank you. In fact, he even left that saying thank you. You are still wondering. He left and went home. He saw you the next day and just greeted. He didn't even mention it. The guy is a bad boy, Abby. That guy needs home training. Because simple home training should tell him that when you receive, you say thank you. Are you getting me? But the Lord can position him around you to try your heart. He will do it once. He will repeat it again. And you feel like this guy, anytime we come again, I beg, me just give me a chance. I know get, I beg. Guy wouldn't have said thank you. May God help us. But you know that you shouldn't be that guy anyway. That doesn't say you shouldn't be that guy that doesn't say thank you. But Jesus wants us to get to a place where he healed lepers and they walked away. In fact, he doesn't even expect them to come and say thank you. That's it, our Savior. Leprosy. You know what it means, leprosy? It means that this guy was excommunicated from his family by disease. He got healed. 10 of them got healed well. And what happened? Only one came back. And that one that came back, Jesus said, what of the rest? You know the way Jesus asks now, like say, maybe they know well. Maybe the team know my prayer. No, God don't answer my prayer. What about the rest? He said that they are gone. They are fine. They've gone to their houses. I only returned to say thank you. Jesus prayed for him again. See, if they didn't come back to say thank you, Jesus will carry on with his ministry. Nothing spoiled for God's hand. Can we get to that place where we are willing to distribute? It's a high commandment, but it's an expectation of God. And if God gives you exam where you feel pass, then there's no need for the classroom exercises. We are always going to be in need of grace. I don't know if you got what I just said. May we always be in need of grace. Why? Because we are always attempting something higher. It just occurred to me that why should you pray a prayer that is simple? Pray a prayer that you know is difficult. So that when God do it, you know, say, God, I do it. And since that thing occurred to me, I began, every time they ask God now, then the difficult things, because there are things that are, yes, in my mind, they are difficult, but we can, if we bend the circle, maybe we can do it. I said, no, let's not bother God with what can be done. Let's bother God with things that are difficult. And you know what is difficult? You need that, you tell God, this stubbornness, come out. And as they come out, and show me as they come out, because me, I need to know how you come out. You are asking for a difficult thing. Because that stubbornness is your papa body. That stubbornness, your grandpapa, now kill him. That stubbornness, now make them pursue your man for husband's house. So that thing you're asking God is difficult. I said, no, let's tell God to do things that are difficult, actually. So when God does it, we know say, this can only be the finger of God. I don't know if God, I'm trying to say, why should we give God mathematics way simple? Give him the equation where nobody feels solve. I hash. That is why he's God. That's why he's God. Amen. The 2,000 naira you can get from Barabayo, you will need that and be begging God. Lord, give me 2,000. Just 2,000 naira. Just 2,000. The 2,000 you can ask Bratolu. He's going to have one of two answers. I get, collect, or I no get.
you go ask another person. Abby, did a brother God for 2K? If Brother Tolu give you the 2K, if God still move Brother Tolu to give you 2K, you no go really appreciate that God move Brother Tolu. You have a heart. Do you know the way God will do it and you will appreciate God is when somebody random that your mind is not going to now gives you that. It's 2K, but it now gives you 2K. Ah! God. Ah, God. But if it is if it is the person around you that gave you, you will not still appreciate it is God. So just ask from your brother, collect them. So when you pray, you go know what you pray for. So I've not said you shouldn't pray for money. I'm only saying that there's a way God will do it that you will know it can only be God. So when God was sending his son, he came at a point, Apostle Paul said, when we were weak and without strength, God sent his son. We know. Say, if you really are thinking person, there's no way we'll fulfill save ourselves. Where we don't reach, now more we just die and remain. So I'm trusting God that Jesus will break us out. Amen. And that the Lord wants to bring us to a place where we can weigh our journey. You can really know if you are making progress or not. Do you get what I'm trying to say? We can know. And that is why they are giving us the yardstick. The yardstick is clear. Okay? Arrive, we must arrive at charity. We must arrive at love. If it is Christ, it is love. Are you getting me? If it is the living God, it is what? Love. It is love. And there's demand. May our heart yearn for such places. Amen. May our heart yearn for such places. Amen. Such that we are pressing in the spirit. We are pressing in the spirit. A man of love. I should end on this note. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A man of love is in strong sync with the throne. A man of love is in strong sync with the throne. There are prayers he will no longer pray because now he is in alignment with the throne. Love is the aligning point God put in creation. When we fell, when he said man fell, all have sinned and fallen, we fell out of alignment. Another scripture says that they are out of course. If you can find that scripture, it says the world is out of course. Out of course means that there is a trajectory of rotation. Are you getting me? Oh, are you going home? There's a trajectory of what? Your simple geography. Okay? And that we went left the course. Psalms 82 verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what, brethren? Are out of course. When you say they know not, neither will they understand. So what are they understanding? What it takes for them to be in course. What they gain when they are in course. When they are in alignment with the throne. There are some prayers, sir, that we don't need to pray. If a man, sir, loves his wife, there are some prayers they won't pray. How do I know? Is that James? That said that their prayers be not hindered. So there's something that we have not even fought. But the man just they do his own. The woman they do his own. Their prayers will be hindered. Why did he say that a woman should stay under the husband? He says so that when angels come to your house, your attitude will not send them away. Ever. Because angels are supposed to visit our houses. That your attitude, they don't like when you are not in order. So it tells me that when a man is aligned, that he won't pray some prayer again. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, thank you, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So when a man cannot do these things, his prayers will be hindered. When a man's prayer is hindered, his household will suffer. Oh. Now, the man is not the only one who will suffer. His household will suffer. If we understand the essence of Christ, we'll be racing towards that line. Christ was given to realign our soul to what can resonate with the thoughts of the throne. That's why Christ was given. If a man cannot align, be aligned like that. You see why we will go to the mountain to go and pray. Go to the valley to go and pray. We tell that same man, just go and do this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. He will not agree that that is the answer to the prayer. He's going to go and pray on the mountain. Give honor to the wife. Ah, woman, I'm a man. A woman should. He will not agree that this one, if he does it, he doesn't need to go up to the mountain. Angels should come into our homes and they cannot come and just walk around and not arrange things. Guy, think. If this place is dead, disfigured, it's normal for you to come and arrange chair like this. I get what I'm trying to say. Yes, it's just normal for you to just come and arrange furniture when you are not Lucifer. Angels cannot walk by your house and scatter chair. Now, devil, they do that kind of thing. Yes. He'll come, he'll go scatter. I know, say, devil, don't pass. Yes. When angels go through your house, they adjust something. They adjust something. They touch somebody. Ah, blessed, this person wants sick. Oh, they go just heal him. He no go sick. You no say for don't sick. Ah. May God open our eyes. The psalmist said, it's better to be in your house than to be somewhere else with fools. I better be here as a doorkeeper. Make her be usher for door. Make her be gateman for door. Than to be somewhere else. Because if I'm here, things will happen in my life that I don't need to pray about. Things will shift about me that I don't need to pray about. But you know, man, we like to pray. I know God, though. I know God. If I give that matter 3 weeks fasting, 21 days, nothing where my God no go do. Do you know that you can even have it without fasting? When Jesus said the way of peace they have not known, that is describing us. We are the ones he's describing. The way of peace. If they all tell you, say, just align. Is this looking for? This is what you're looking for. But you see, that thing that makes you not align is a warfare that you should win. That is the battle. You should win that war. That will make a man wake up in the morning and not kneel down with his wife and pray. Because the sweetheart will never pray. I say, Mona, they pray. Mona, they pray. They come. At the phone. Mona, they pray. It's only quickly make her just, I get one thing. I don't oversleep. You don't wake me. You don't wake me. Now make her come wake. Why can't they pray? No, they come. Mona, they pray. Mona, they pray. Mona, they pray 2 days. Mona, they pray 1 week. Mona, they pray 1 month. Mona, they pray 6 months. Where the contrast with the portion, you never get time. You next still come do the first work and have peace. The Lord wants us to see that when he preaches, it is for our own good. Believe you me, there's nothing heaven loses if you are not aligned to the throne. The throne no shifts. If you no align, your brother go align. Me, I no say I go align. If you like, no align. But I go there here when you dey suffer. Now small, it will cost me. Back in the days, that is when we give instruction and you don't obey, when you cry, that time handkerchief was 50 naira. It will only cost me 50 naira handkerchief to give you to wipe tears. It will cost me something. But for you, what is costing you is way more. It's way more. May our soul get to that place where we can really see the gospel for what the gospel is. There's nothing Jesus needs that we are going to give to Jesus. There's nothing. If the Lord instructs you to lay down your life for your brother, lay down your life for your brother. Give that thing. A shirt you have not worn for weeks. You just go to your wardrobe, just see some clothes. This cloth you never wear. I go and I say, this cloth, I don't go Benin now. I never wear it. Pack them. I bet who won't wear, make you wear. Why should it be in my wardrobe and I'm not wearing it? And some of us make it a lifestyle. We get clothes. You get rags, Abby. May God help us. How many places should they go where you get 13 shoes? Where will they go? And you are not seeing, looking around to see who get your size of shoe. Your size of shoe. Just give her one. May God help us. May God help us. Those things, sir, align our hearts. until the Lord puts instruction on your heart, give that shoe to that brother. You will not know that it's not easy for you to let it go. Until that instruction comes, give it to him. You see some people just give. They just give. Say, that brother is a giver. That brother is a giver. That brother is a giver. You thought he was born a giver. Eh? He's a giver. He exercised himself until he got there. Nobody was born a giver. Oh, it's just easy. Anytime you just meet that brother, just ask him for anything we'll give you. Anything he'll give you. You think he has surplus? He's stretching himself. And there's one that hold it, that tended to poverty. But there's another one that give it and increase it in wealth. Because a liberal soul will be made fat. May God help us. May God help us. When we arrive at that place where we are quick to obey God and we know that we are the one that is blessed. It's a privilege, it's a privilege that I can be allowed to do this. It's a privilege that I can allow to do this. Somebody did something recently. I said, thank you, sir. I said, don't thank me. It's a privilege that that heaven can think that I should fill this space. It's a privilege. May God bring us there. May heaven bring us there. Sometimes the little we have is so big in our eyes. And that is already a problem because it means we can't handle more. We can't handle more. But when Jesus really works on our hearts, we get to a place where we break free. We break free. We can really be buoyant. Things can really move. But our capacity in heart would have been enlarged. Would have been enlarged. There's no way to say I'm serving God and your brethren are not feeling it. Die, oh God. Only you know I know who you deserve. If you are serving God, your brethren will feel it. Because with every increase we make in the spirit, it is a demand that was put on us, on people around us that should feel it. Did you understand what I said? With every movement in the spirit, we had obeyed a demand towards people. Towards people. People. That was 2 weeks ago. Daddy was saying that if you complain, people don't visit your house. Except there's no food in your house. He said, you are stingy. That is why. He said, brethren like food. Brethren like food. Cook the food and tell them, guys, and you guys, there's food. Service, we'll go chop now. She said, go my after service, we'll go chop. My house, we'll go my house. They go know your house. Yes. It doesn't matter how far your house is, they will know your house. He said, because my house is far. Maybe my house is far. That's why brethren don't come. Brethren don't come. And when brethren come to your house, angels visit your house more. Angels visit your house more. Let me give you a Rijo. Yeah? You know what Yoruba man call Rijo? Expo. There's no way, sir, that three brethren will be in your house and Jesus will allow the three of them to starve. You see, that way you are struggling to feed only yourself and your wife. You are thinking, we are still struggling. You now have three brethren. don't worry. Jesus knows that three brethren have come to your house. Do you really think that the economy of Abraham's house was not that large? Because actually, he had extra 318 soldiers to feed. You are just seeing that the angel of God just came. And then Abraham just ran, just catch one kid of goat. Oh yeah, guys, no, we kill him, Papa. Oh yeah, Sarah, give me a cake. Cha cha. You don't look as Abraham rich. You don't go back, go catch good like that. You are not seeing that the people, the food they cook in Abraham's house, no be two cups of beans every day per meal. The 318 soldiers were born in his house. They are not workers that came. They were born in his house. They are basically like his property. Because those days, when you have a slave, any child that is slave born is your own child. That was why Abraham was asking God, is this Eliezer of Damascus, who was the oldest of all of them, that will be my heir? Because it was basically like his son. The food they cook in Abraham's house alone, every meal, and those guys go chop at least twice. 318, wafer war. You know the kind of food they go chop for plates? You sure say na SIM card, ice fish, then they chop on top of their plate. Those guys. No be SIM card ice fish, yo. You know when you cut your ice fish, slice them. You nearly slice finger joint them. In that teaching, Daddy said, enlarge your territory by yourself. Enlarge it. Open it up. So when we calculate, this month, what are we eating? Normally, it's 5 Congos of rice. He said, buy 10. Buy 10. When month end and you don't finish, pack them, give another person. Buy another 10. So you see that effort that man is putting into it with his wife. In 10 years, they will become larger. You don't meet people who are just large because God just, no. People exercise themselves to that place. And they are aligning more with the throne. They are aligning more with the throne. That man may never become a pastor, but he's higher than some pastors. He may never be given microphone to preach, but in the spirit, his height is very high. Because there are things, as you are saying it, he's doing it. As you are saying it, he's doing it. Is it not by obedience we get promoted? May Jesus enlarge our capacity, enlarge our mind to come to a place where we know that God wants to bless us. That's why he sent the gospel. And we arrive there in Jesus' name. Love is a major requirement of the throne. So when you finish Holy Ghost, what they see is love. They call that one love to all the saints. When you finish Christ, what they see again is what? Love. When you finish living God, what they see again is love. Love is the requirement God is looking for. Nobody can sit around the throne who does not love God. There is enough to weed you out as you are going towards the throne. When you are sitting around God at the throne, you are a lover. You are a love being. May God make us such in the days to come. In Jesus' name. Can we bow our heads and pray? Can we bow our heads and pray? I want us to pray.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.